Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Startup Sales. Really excited for this week. We have Gino Ferrand with us, the founder and owner of Tekla. They are a firm that specializes in helping companies get hire talent for the teams internationally. And so today we're going to speak a lot about, you know, building your sales team outside of the country and what to look for, what are the pros and cons to this, things like that. Going to be really exciting, going to be very helpful. So let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the Startup Sales Podcast, where we dive into the world of sales and marketing. Join us as we interview founders and industry experts, uncovering their successes and failures in the market. Get valuable insights and learn from their experiences to boost your own sales strategies. And now, a word from this episode's sponsor. Are you tired of struggling to reach your sales targets? We believe in you get what you pay for. That's why you pay only for the leads you get. Introducing Startup Sales, the leading growth hacking agency that guarantees meetings with your prospects. With our proven strategies, we'll bring you between 15 to 30 qualified prospects every month. And here's the best part. It's risk-free. You only pay us upon success. Don't let your competitors get ahead. Let Startup Sales supercharge your sales pipeline today. Visit us at startupsales.io. Startup Sales, your ultimate growth hacking partner.
Gino, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be on.
Great. Can you give everybody a little bit of background about who you are and why they should listen to you?
So as you said, I'm the founder of Tekla, and we are a company that helps companies in the U.S. and Canada expand their recruitment and hiring into Latin America. So we help companies hire in Brazil, Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, and mostly for remote opportunities. And really, every department, not just technology. We started with developers, but now really we help companies hire, you know, SDRs, sales executives, designers, data scientists, pretty much every profile, really.
Wow, sounds really exciting. So what would be some of the benefits to having a team remote like that so far away?
Some of the benefits, definitely a lot of the companies we work with are looking to expand the team with sort of like a hybrid strategy. They are hiring onshore, they're hiring people in the US, but they also want to be able to, you know, grow the team as much as possible and sort of make that runway and money last as much as possible and get them as far as it can. And so they're looking to complement their US hiring strategy with, you know, hiring offshore internationally. And Latin America has been gaining a lot of ground, you know, in comparison to Asia and Africa and Eastern Europe because of the time zone compatibility. So a lot of companies, they want something closer to the U.S. And the big benefit is the time zones, obviously. In LATAM, most people are in central U.S. time zone or Eastern time zone or maybe 1 hour ahead of Eastern time zone. And so it's great for like real time collaboration. That's the main benefit, I would say, when looking internationally.
So the main benefit is that, but what about the money? Is it cheaper to have outsource like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in terms of savings, obviously if you're able to hire great talent in Latin America, you're still able to save maybe 50% on average compared to that same person in the US. And obviously that varies depending on, you know, where in the US we're talking, right? Like we were talking about Seattle, and I know now that you're born and raised in Seattle, and I'm personally based in Seattle, and so obviously Seattle is a great example for probably you could save more than 50% with how expensive some talent is here. And so, but yeah, on average about 50%. So sometimes you can hire two, three people for the cost of one. So yeah, money is a big reason why companies are looking near shore.
So do you find that companies that are doing this, are they typically, do they need a manager, a specific manager in in Latin America to manage this team?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I've been in this for close to 10 years now. And when I first started, definitely there was more of that approach of what you just mentioned, like, oh, well, let's find an agency, you know, near shore that, you know, we can save money on and that, you know, they can provide a project manager or sales manager or someone that is going to be in charge of basically coordinating with us and then also like relaying everything that we need to the teams, you know, internationally. But nowadays, you know, companies, and especially with the pandemic, obviously that really like threw all of this into hyperdrive. Companies are just thinking about everyone as another employee or another team member. And so, yeah, when we help companies hire SDRs, which we do often, they just, you know, embed right into the normal sales org. Like there's nothing different. It's like, you know, yeah, we have salespeople in New York and Chicago, some of them are in Dallas and Seattle, and yeah, we have, you know, a couple people in Mexico, one in Argentina, one in, so companies are thinking about it more like it's just one more person on the team rather than like outsourcing. And I think 10 years ago it was very outsourcing kind of based. Yeah.
Interesting. I understand that because I've had a couple times a outsourced team and you feel very much that it's like outsourced, that they're not part of the team. So it sounds like for it to be a success, you really have to count them as they're your team, just like if they were next door, they're just working from home.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, I think outsourcing, it's always that decision of like, should I go with an agency like for sales? I mean, should I hire an agency that's going to do outreach? Maybe they really know like, you know, how to build the right recipe and they know the formula and I'm going to trust their know-how. But if that's not the case, if you want, you know, the people you hire to work with your tools and your sales stack and, you know, your process, then it's better, I think, to hire team members, and just bring them into the fold, right? Bring them into your process. And yeah, I've seen so many companies now doing that. And obviously, English becomes a really important, screening requirement for us. And, you know, finding those folks that, have a really advanced level of English, because that's what, especially in sales, where you might be doing a lot of cold calling, you might be, you know, doing a lot of writing. Obviously, you're trying to do outreach via LinkedIn or via email, etc. Writing is super important. And so, yeah, definitely depends on if you want to outsource the expertise or if you have that expertise in-house. Like if you're killing it at cold outreach and, you know, just sales ops and all that stuff, then you should hire people and bring them in, I think, to use your process.
Yeah, I've made that mistake a couple times of outsourcing the SDR team, and it fails almost all the time. You need to have it in your process and under your control.
Yeah, and I mean training, right? Which is the business you're in. Like that's so important now for companies, because you can like, it's like a better investment to train a team rather than to outsource, unless you do find, you know, an agency that just kills it. Like they just really know what they're doing. And yeah, I mean, that's a great strategy for early stage companies to find other people that know what they're doing instead of trying to, you know, do everything internally, especially in the beginning. But it's hard to find a good partner sometimes for that stuff.
Is it culturally, is there a problem with, you know, having people in Latin America and the cultural differences selling and communicating with the people in America? Even if their English is great, there's that cultural aspect.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And that's spot on, because that's something that we notice when we're doing recruiting for companies that are looking for SDRs and sales folks in LATAM. The cultural experience and the soft skills are super important. So it's not just the language, like you were saying, but like, you know, have you worked with companies based in the US? Have you had to do sales to, you know, prospects in the US? Because definitely the way that selling happens is different in LATAM. So a lot of the times we know this, and we try to find those sales experts in LATAM that have that experience selling to people in the US, because otherwise, even if they have the English, they might be more used to doing outreach to people in LATAM. And as we know, like, the conversion rates of everything are so, it's such a, you have to optimize so much that you can't just be sending even emails the same way that you would to someone in Argentina or in Colombia or in Mexico, because it's just different. It's different than in the US. And it's different among every culture and country. So yeah, that's super, super important. And that's what makes the recruiting process super, yeah, important and difficult too, because it's not just the language, like you were saying.
So let's say I think I'm a founder of a company. I think this is a good idea. Where do I start in this process of looking for expanding my team externally?
Well, I mean, I truly think that the best first step is to talk to a company like Tekla. I mean, not to say, you know, speak to us, like that's the only way, but definitely you want to talk to, and you know, there's many companies in this space, and I think many are doing things right and know what it's like to recruit talent in LATAM for companies in the US. And so try to talk to those companies and those founders and try to learn about the market and sort of what can be done, because a lot of companies that we are talking to are doing this for the first time. Like there's, especially with what's going on, like the last 12 months, right? Like VC capital, harder to come by, hard to get that next funding round. You have to do more with less. And a lot of companies are coming forward with like, yeah, we're, you know, we need, you know, we're hiring 10 SDRs, like 10 SDRs in LATAM. We're hiring 10 or 5 in the US. And so they're doing that hybrid strategy. And I think that, yeah, I mean, the best thing is to talk to companies that actually do this and actually like, hey, what can we find? What type of profile? What should we be thinking about? What are some challenges? What are the rates? What, you know, what can we expect in terms of costs? Because I think a lot of companies too are sometimes making decisions based on like Glassdoor type stuff or like pay scale type articles on like, you know, oh, how much do, you know, SDRs in Mexico get paid or in Colombia? And then you end up with like this projection of like, oh, well, we were going to hire 10 people then. And it's like, well, at the level that you want the person to be able to, you know, really be another team member, you know, totally, you know, capable of doing the work, you might hire 7, you might hire 6. And so, yeah, I think that that's always a good place to start. I think it's more talking to companies in this space rather than like articles or, you know, written pieces on the internet or, you know, the numbers, data can always, it's always hard to use data.
Especially when it's such a massive data set that they, you don't know where they're taking in and they're looking at it. It's not specific to your use case. Like it's not just SDRs in tech. It's any entry-level sales position in an office. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you. You just put it much more eloquently than I did, but that's exactly right. Like the data set is just everyone, right? It's like average SDR salary Mexico. I mean, that's not going to tell you anything because you might be looking for SDRs that have experience in tech, like a SaaS company, and, you know, with advanced level of English. There's all of these factors that are going to make the data set pretty irrelevant.
Yeah. Okay. And is the hiring process the same? Let's say I come to Tekla, you guys are helping me, and you get me a few interviews lined up. Is the process the same, or is there something different I need to be doing in that?
Yeah, no, it's very similar. I mean, so much so that a lot of the companies we work with, like I was saying, have this hybrid strategy. And so even within the same team, they are trying to hire in multiple places for that same team. So very, you know, very comfortable now, some companies with remote and having people in different cities and countries. And so the hiring process is typically the same for someone like that you would be hiring in the US remotely. And so I think that as far as like the interview process, I haven't seen companies change it too much, you know, for specifically like salespeople internationally. But I think that, you know, I think especially in sales hiring, there's a lot of like you know, we really want to see how this person performs in an actual sales call, in an actual, like, putting people in actual scenarios where it's like real world type stuff, and instead of like a multiple choice assessment or something like that. And I think that that's what works. That's what we've seen work best.
So what are some of the biggest failures or mistakes that you see being made in this journey?
Well, I think to what I was saying now, like giving people the actual experience that they're going to be facing at work is super important. I also think that some companies do get a little too narrow on their search. And this isn't just internationally, but I think when they're hiring in general.
What do you mean by that?
Like, they're trying to find people who specifically have worked in the utilities industry, like SaaS, like for the utility space in this state or in, and it's, I think you get so specific that you leave out like great people that can pick up that stuff in a matter of a couple weeks versus things that like you can't pick up. Even if you have experience in that industry, it's like you just don't have the improvisation skills, the you know, fast thinking when you're on a call, and you know, so many other skills that are more important, I think, for sales than like knowing the specific market. Because at the end, a good salesperson, a good SDR, a good, you know, closer can close in any industry if they're given the data and they're given like the actual information on the industry, right? But I mean, teaching someone how to be a good salesperson is much harder, I think.
Yeah, I always tell people, my clients, to, if you're building out your team and hiring salespeople, whether that's SDR or closers or anywhere in between, it's not about what industry they've worked in. It's about what sales process have they worked before. Is it a similar sales process? Meaning, is it a similar price range? You know, somebody that's closed $50 a month SaaS tool is not the same person that you want closing a $10,000 a month SaaS tool. So that's the more important thing than industry experience. So I agree with you a lot there.
Yeah, definitely. No, I agree. That's a really good point. I do agree with that. The amounts and the type of company, it you have to know like what the process is for a, you know, 5,000 employee company versus a 10 person startup, right?
Yeah. And are you selling to CEOs or are you selling to directors of marketing? You know, like there's a difference there.
So, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Any last tips for the founders listening to this?
I mean, I think that, you know, the main sort of topic that we've been talking about of you know, international and specifically for sales, something like I said that I've seen a big uptick in, like historically we started with developers, right? Helping companies hire developers and sort of like technical software talent, but it's been crazy the last like 12 or 18 months seeing how companies are just really diversifying that. And so, you know, I would definitely encourage companies to do the research to see if that kind of hybrid strategy could help them. But otherwise, I think that we probably covered some of the most important tips when it comes to hiring salespeople.
Great. How could people find out more about you or about Tekla?
Well, definitely our website. It's tekla.io. And, you know, if you look up LATAM stuff on Google, we do come up pretty much like top three in a lot of the searches for Latin America hiring and recruiting and recruitment. And so we have a lot of like blog articles. We have a lot of videos. That's really like our main focus in terms of marketing is content and trying to educate companies on, you know, what the possibilities are when it comes to Latin America. And so, yeah, definitely our blog on our website is a great resource. And then, you know, we have a YouTube channel as well where we share some information more specific to hiring in LATAM and stuff. And so, yeah, I think our website is the best point. But then on LinkedIn, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn and I always like to connect with fellow founders and anyone building anything. And as a small company, I'm mostly in like marketing and sales for our company. So I love, you know, just talking about sales and marketing and lead generation is, I think, the main focus.
Good. And for those that are like me and can't spell at all, it's T-E-C-L-A, Tecla. Great. Gino, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you.
Yeah, Adam, thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Startup Sales with Adam Springer. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Contact Adam about speaking engagements or consulting services at adam@startupsales.io.